All right, now I'm warm, and it's great to see all of the halves of your faces. It's wonderful. Greetings from I don't know where you got. I mean, you're all living in different places, but greetings from Sachsenhausen, the southern part of Frankfurt, the most beautiful part. I know some of you would disagree with me. I met somebody who lives in Kronberg. It's pretty beautiful out there too. But we love it. And when we went to we've been in Germany since 2014, but we went to Sachsenhausen in 2018-ish, 2017, 2018, just realizing how few churches or even there were in that area. And so it was just exciting to see Sam come and be a part, even just live there as being a part of the River of Life and knowing that he came out of this this church here. And so this has always been a bright spot. We've known a lot of people who've come through here and I'll mention one person, which I know that's not her name anymore, but Jenny Dreyer. Yeah. So who was, here all through her childhood, and we were able to be in a church together later. And, it was just a really big blessing to our family and to our church. And so, yeah, I just want to thank you guys for her, first of all, because she's a real good friend of my wife. So, yeah. So we want to talk about a new jacket and a new identity today. I'm going to start my timer so that I don't go too long. There we go. I learned that in Germany. You know, you got to get me right on time. So my name is Kelly, right? You guys probably would have guessed that, right? My name is Kelly, but Kelly is not who I am. So I have a name, and it's part of my identity, definitely, because my parents gave me that name, and you can see me right there. Yeah, I'm the one on the bottom. Yeah, I'm the one on the bottom. That one's my sister. this goes all the way back to 1982. Who was alive in 1982? Who was not alive in 1982? Okay, all right, we just parted the waters right there. So my identity goes deeper than that. You see, people express their identity internally, but also through what they say. You can see that, well, I don't know if you can go back to that last picture again one more time, and just you can see that my parents definitely were expressing their identity. That's where I get my beard from, is from my dad. But it's also through what they say, what they do. I'm wearing a brown jacket right now, and often people in Frankfurt or Oberursel or Kronberg or wherever you live, they wear earrings and necklaces or different jackets. If you go down by the Commerzbank, people have their nice silk suits, big shoes, glasses. I just got one, some with white rims. I was like, Those are the ones I like. So we express our identity also through what we wear, right? And sometimes we don't even know what to express. So I'd like to move to the next slide. And these are just like kind of three things that I want us to think about as we go in thinking through this idea of identity. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We know that look back there. Yes, we it talks about multiplying disciples. So this idea of going to make disciples, that's something that your church stands for, our church stands for. 2 Timothy 2:2, the multiplication of leaders, where Paul told Timothy, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, trust to faithful men so that they might be able to teach others also. And 1 Corinthians 11:1, when Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So this idea of a multiplying nature of multiplying Christ in me and other people. And so these are just really key ideas that I know that are part of this church and part of our church. And let's go on to the next slide there. And you can just see that this whole idea of multiplication will go through the next couple here. You can see how it kind of builds out and how multiplication works, right? We believe in the power of multiplication. God's given us that. But I think sometimes we forget to talk about the big question as Christ followers. And that's the next question is, what am I mobilizing? What am I multiplying? So, you know, you can multiply a lot of bad things too. People do it all the time. You can multiply a vision. I mean, you see a vision coming to life in Ukraine right now that someone has, you know, multiplied through a whole army. So there are all sorts of ideas that can be multiplied and mobilized. What am I multiplying? You see the cells there. This is just a side note, but it is funny that when cells divide, they also multiply. We always think that division, we are like, don't call it division in our church. We're going to call it multiplication, you know, but with cells, it's the same thing. So we'll go to the next question. And these are two kind of leading questions. And the second one is, for whom or what am I living my life? And maybe the first question, if you're like, I'm not really sure what I think about the Christian faith, maybe that first question, you're like, not really relevant for me. But the second one I want you to think about is for whom or what am I living my life? And I think that's the key question. Where am I getting my identity? Where is it resting? All right, the jacket. So almost 2 years ago, I was at CNA. Yeah, anybody shop there? With Bodo Park, who we're planting a church together with, because you guys know real men go shopping together, right? We were there together, and I needed a jacket. My jacket was broken, I think. My wife was gone at the time, and I told Bodo, I really need a jacket, but I don't want to spend much money. I'm that kind of guy. So he said, come on, let's go look. So we were in the Nordwestzentrum, if you guys know that, the mall over there. And we had an appointment there, and we were looking, and Bodo said, hey, man, this jacket, this one, it's you. It's totally you. This jacket is you. And I'm like, really? You think so? Like light brown? You think I can wear that? And he's like, yes, it totally suits you. And it only costs 49 euros too, right? So I'm like, wow, this is a good deal, too good to give up. So it wasn't much, it was a good deal. I said to myself, of course, it's so much better than the jacket that I have right now that's broken. And Bodo thinks it looks nice. So maybe other people will think it looks nice too. But to be real quite honest, I was not so sure about this jacket. Then we saw a few other people at another event that we went to later. I think our friends Yen and Yegan were there, and I got to the place where they were hanging out, and everybody was like, hey, man, that jacket is awesome. It totally suits you. What a beautiful jacket that you're wearing. And I said, it was actually Bodo's idea. You know, it was actually Bodo's idea. I was still a little uncomfortable. Identity. I only found out later that Bodo had told everybody, hey, I'm not really sure about this jacket, and I think it fits. He's not really sure about the jacket, so when he comes, make sure to, like, totally build him up. Because it was my idea, and it would be really bad if I chose it and it doesn't look good. So, what I'm saying is, sometimes we need encouragement to express our true identity. We're coming to the text. I'm not just going to speak without going to the Bible, but this is just kind of leading us into the... Sometimes we need this encouragement to express our own true identity. We all have our own identity, and that's where I wear this jacket today with identity. At some point, somebody helped me believe that this fit me, and even though I know that not everybody's even really sure about it now, I had come to believe that it fit me, and I wear it with pride, okay? I wear it too often. It's true. So our identity is much deeper than the jacket we wear, but we know, or even the country that we live in. But in our country that we live in here, people do express themselves with clothes and different things. That's just how it is. So many questions. Who are you? Who am I? Somebody asked me, where are you from? And I said, originally. You guys know this question. And they said, yeah, originally. And I'm like, well, that's more difficult, because I could have said Sachsenhausen, right? But now they said, where are you from originally? I'm like, born in Illinois, grew up in New Mexico, then moved to Kentucky, then moved to Germany, then moved to Tennessee, I moved to Taiwan before that. Yeah, anyway, so like, really difficult, right? Where are you from? Am I German? Am I American? Am I Iranian? Is she Korean? Is she from Taiwan? Is she Chinese? Maybe you all have also asked yourself a question like this at some time in your life. Am I Buddhist? Am I a Muslim? Am I a Christian? Am I a nothing? Do I believe in something? Who am I? That's the issue, really. Who am I? And this issue is about true identity, who I am. So let's move to, I also express my identity through my cell phone case here. So my daughter bought me this, actually. It looks like a Game Boy. It actually plays. It's got 36 games on it. Okay, let's go to the text, Ephesians 4, verse 17. That was not advertisement for the phone or anything. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy practice, every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So, when you're a Christian, we'll go to the slide 13 here. When you're a Christian, and that is when you trust Jesus, love tells us in this text that we've just read that we all get a new identity. We get a new self. He talks about the old man and the new man. The old man was before he trusted in Jesus, and the new man has trusted in Jesus. And maybe you do, maybe you don't believe in Jesus, but maybe you're interested in what it means to be a Christian or what that entails or what that looks like. Why should somebody even actually become a Christian? Maybe somebody who has grown up in a family that, you know, went to church and believed in Jesus, maybe they've asked themselves these same kind of questions. Why is it so important? Paul describes the life of the person before he becomes a Christian as the old person and afterwards as the new person. So we come to this slide here, and really the idea is that, if we go back one more, for my fault, your identity in Christ forms a new identity. And so that's your old identity in Christ then changes your identity. It gives you like the fingerprint of God in your life. All right, we'll go to the next one. And that comes to the gospel change. That there's a real gospel change that comes into our life that really changes everything. And that's the point of this passage right here. So it can come across right away as like, oh, there's a bunch of rules here. But it's not about that. It's really about this gospel change. That is, our identity was changed by the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did on the cross for us, and that's why it's called good news. Jesus came into the world and everything changed. People immediately received hope. So, the old man. There are five things in this text that describe the old man. And we start in Ephesians 4:25. We see the old life is obsessed with lies. The old life is obsessed with lies. Number two, it's obsessed with wrath or anger. in verse 26. From stealing, number three, that's like, you know, just taking something that doesn't belong to you. Number four, of corrupt language or foul language and slander. And five, a bad attitude or a bad temper. We kind of see that coming out, exuding from those two verses. And then we see the new man, right? If we set him on the other side, the old man was a liar, but the new man is a truth teller. So he tells the truth. Now, the old man was angry, but the new man has his righteous indignation. And we'll talk about what righteous indignation means. Third, the old man wanted to steal, but the new man is industrious. He wants to work well and hard and healthy. Number four, the old man slandered, but the new man wants to bless people and give them grace. And lastly, the old man has bad temper, and the new man has a temperament of love and grace. And that's kind of what we want to look at today. So we'll start with lying, because why not, right? Verse 25 says, therefore, put away lying. I think it's key that he starts with that, because you know, he didn't start with sexual immorality. He didn't say, you know, those who've slept with someone who they shouldn't have slept with, he started with lying. Why? Well, because we've all done it. A lot of us have done it today. So it's something that it's constantly in our lives. Paul tells people not to lie. And yeah, and often in the Christian faith you hear, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt tell the truth. Thou shalt love your mother and father. And those are true. And those are good. But we can come to think that that's the whole of the Christian faith. Do this, don't do that. But actually, it goes deeper than that in the scriptures. It's much deeper than that, and that's what we want to look at. So next slide, lies, right? Lies, right? You guys get it? who knows who Lance Armstrong was? Yeah? He was the most famous cyclist that the world has ever seen during his career, right? Some might say infamous. And in 2005, he said in a TV interview, he said, I've said more than seven times that I've never doped. I've never used drugs to get better. That's what he said in 2005, right? But in 2013, his many championship titles were taken away when he admitted that he did not tell the truth. So he actually lied. He used drugs to get better. And it's such a great example of the old man in us, right? Or the old self, right? It's old. There are old women in some of us too. he lied because he didn't want to give up the championship titles. And he got paid a lot of money, and he was highly respected. And I guess he didn't want other people to know that he's actually not as good as it looks. So before everyone was saying, man, Lance Armstrong is the best cyclist the world has ever seen. He's just like a quality guy. And I want to be like Lance Armstrong, right? But 2013, people said, he's a liar, right? So why do people lie? I think when we look at this text here, some people, why does Paul focus so much on lying? I think people lie to avoid punishment. Others to get a prize that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Others to protect themselves from physical harm. Others to get other people's admiration, to escape a situation maybe that's really awkward for some kind of conversation. Some lie to avoid embarrassment. Other people lie to other people because they want to control the information that person gets or manipulate. In a very few cases, people lie to protect other people. That happens sometimes too. So like we all know in World War II that there were people who hid Jews in their homes to protect them. And they were asked, do you have people here? And they said no, because they wanted to protect people. But most cases, if we're real honest, right, we always like to go to those cases. And we're like, yeah, but, you know, we're like, let's be honest. When he said, let's take Ukrainians into our home, most of you were like, I don't know if I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, let's just be real honest, right? This is the time we're talking about lying, so it's good to be honest. So I guess, I mean, that's wonderful. I know we pray for that, but I'm also saying that I know my own heart, and maybe I'm more wicked than all of you, but I know those same feelings, and most of the time that we're lying, right, it's not to protect somebody, it's to protect me, myself, and I, right? So lies almost come from our ego, almost always come from our ego, a place of self-centeredness. We'll go to the next slide. But the gospel, and we'll just kind of leave that slide 18 up there. Yeah. But the gospel makes a big change, and we're new people now because of Jesus Christ. So when he died on the cross, so we see up here, the Bible says that we died in him. So you died in him if you're a Christ follower. That means the old man or the old self is dead. It's died. And that's good because the old man just wanted something for himself. But Jesus rose. He came back to life. And the Bible says that we died in him and we rose to life with him. And he gave us his spirit so that we can rise as new people. We are new people. We are a new creation, thanks to Christ. We died in him, and we lived through him as he rose to life. The old man believed that lying helped. But it only ever led to trouble and despair. And we all know that story. You know, you tell one lie, and it goes to the next lie, and the bigger lie, and you're like, oh, I got to get myself out of this. And eventually, you either get in trouble or you got to come clean, right? And then you're still in trouble. If you got good parents. I'm just kidding. So verse 25 says, let each one of you speak the truth. In Christ and through the cross, we no longer have to lie to keep the old me safe. We wanted to keep our old identity safe. We want to keep our old identity, but then we have this moment of enlightenment. An aha moment. And I know who I am. And a moment that says, I'm not that old person. I've died in Christ. I'm the new person. I now live in Christ. Now I'm allowed to live differently. Before, I had to lie because I had no other choice. But now I live in Christ. And now I get to speak the truth. Now I have a desire to speak the truth. Now I'm allowed to speak the truth. So we realize that now we don't care about the consequences in the same way that we used to about telling the truth when something's gone very wrong. For example, yesterday when my wife and I got in a very bad argument and started yelling at one another. Yeah, that happened. And not physically, because I would have lost, definitely. But we were just yelling at one another. And we try not to do that very often, but it still happens. Is anyone married in the room? Anyone married? Okay, you know what I'm talking about, maybe. So at home, you know, sometimes they argue a little bit, and then there are times where you argue and argue and argue, and then you explode at one another. So before I was a Christian, my identity would have said, lie. Don't tell the truth. You're supposed to be the preacher, you know? Like, people think that you're like probably did something good. That's why you're standing up there, right? You know, nope, that's not what the Bible says. Carson's a good guy, right? But most of us, you know, we're just as sinful as everybody else. So, because then everybody will know that I'm a bad person too, that I have bad desires too, that I'm a bad father, that I'm a bad man, that I'm a bad worker, that I'm just full of bad stuff, right? That's what my old identity told me. My old identity still says that because it's dead, but it tries to live on. It's like trying to live, and it's like, no, you're dead. But Christ in me tells me, you know what? You are completely loved in me. I love you. It doesn't matter what happens. From me, you get forgiveness. From me, because you're already in me, you're already completely loved regardless of what you do. For me, you get gentleness, comfort. For me, you get full love. You get to tell the truth. You're allowed to tell the truth. You get to say that sometimes you're a bad father, sometimes you're a bad husband, sometimes you're a bad friend. For example, I could tell anyone, like, hey, I'm a bad friend, or I could tell you what I just told you. And because I know that Jesus has changed everything in my life and that he's ready to offer forgiveness because I'm already in him. My old self has died. I've lived with him. The Bible says that he gave it to me before I even started asking for it. That's how much we're loved. You guys know there are many movies that are like this, right? There's a woman who looks really nerdy at the beginning, right? And maybe not so attractive, but you actually know that she's attractive, right? But she doesn't look attractive. They make her look not attractive somehow, right? And then at some point in the movie, she undergoes a change, and at the end, she actually looks totally beautiful, and everybody likes her, and so on and so forth. You know all these stories. It's like the old person a little bit. She's never different in these movies, but she doesn't know who she actually is. And after you become a believer, so before you become a believer, right, we are really sinful. We really do need to change from the inside out. But once that change has taken place, and we really have been changed from the inside out, then we are at a place where we have to be constantly reminded that we're not the nerdy, ugly kid anymore. You know, like, that we're actually beautiful because God said we're beautiful. Right? Not because of something in us, but because of something he did in us. So we need to realize as believers that we've already been given the gospel. Jesus has already adopted us as his children. We need to realize, hey, I get to wear this jacket now. Wow, nice. I get to live as a Christian now. It's much more beautiful than before. We get a new wardrobe, so to speak. Take off the old clothes, put on the new clothes is another example that Paul uses. It's Christ wore a perfect garment, a perfect life for us. And on the cross, every garment was torn away from him, and he died with filthy garments, sin, to clothe us anew with his garment of grace and righteousness. The other points on there, right? I hit lies because I wanted to choose one that no one could say, that's not, I've never done that, you know? So the others are the same story with a different title. Actually, I'm looking at my watch again because I don't think I hit my timer right. So, oh no, it's good. All right. So actually the other five turn out the same way. We don't have to discuss them in so much detail, because it's really about self-centeredness on the old man's side. And on the new man's side, it has to do with God-centeredness. On one side is ego-centered. On the other side is God-centered. He gave us a new perspective. The old man was angry, right? He had an uncontrollable anger, a rage. We were angry. If someone did something bad to me, I was ready to yell at them immediately and say something mean because I wanted to hurt them and I wanted to protect myself. But the Bible says in verse 26, be angry and do not sin. The Bible doesn't say that sometimes you can't get angry. It does say that there is a kind of anger that is necessarily bad. And it tells us that uncontrolled anger is destructive. In the verse, there's also an anger or rage that is not sinful. An anger or rage for the justice of the neighbor. That is, the old person just wanted to protect himself. Everybody stay away from me. You did something bad to me. And then we said something, maybe we say something back to them, etc. But the new man is not angry at everything. But there are times when we really should have an anger. And that means when we hear that children are being killed in Ukraine, we should be angry. Like, we shouldn't be okay with that. We shouldn't be like, all right, what's the next story in the newspaper? You know, that should really burn somewhere deep inside of us, because it's not nice at all. We as Christians are told in the Bible that this kind of anger should move us to prayer. It should move us to action. That it should move us to rely on God and for him in the answer. And to say, God, you care about justice. So there is that kind of anger as well. That's why we associate it with wrath, but it's more like righteous indignation. It's not just about, yeah. So we should stand for justice and say, no, it cannot be that in this world, for example, that young women are enslaved at the age of 12 to work in the sex industry. That can't be. And we as Christians should be the first to say, God, please show your wrath against the enslavement of young women. And we should stand against it. Not because we're better people, but it's because we know that Jesus is better, that he loves all people, and he has died for them, and we should fight for them. And that's not so easy to explain, but the main point is not that I'm better, but that God is better. And that actually brings us a lot of energy. It brings us a lot of love. And I'm not talking about like spiritual energy, right? I'm just saying like physical energy. It brings you energy, right? It brings you love. And you really feel what love is. And I also know many people, I'm going to go to the next point because of time. But Jesus has anger against injustice. He was crucified on the cross for all injustice. He did not deserve it. But he died on the cross for all evil and sin in the world so that we can have a new life. We were unrighteous toward God, and he destroyed sin on the cross so that we may live in his righteousness. And that means that we are now allowed to have a righteous indignation for our neighbor. That's what it means to love. That's one of the ways it means to love your neighbor. So stealing, go to stealing real quickly. I don't think anyone says, I'm a thief. I steal stuff. You know, like people don't go around saying that. Like maybe you would say that you have lied. But maybe there are different ways to steal something. So in verse 28, it says, let him who has stolen steal no more, but work and create with his own hands what is needed that he may give to those in need. So what's the point of stealing? Why do people steal? Stealing gets me something that I didn't have, and it hurts other people. When I steal something, I get something that from the other person, and they get hurt. And as the old person, I only thought about myself and what I was getting, and I didn't care about who would be hurt or not, especially if they weren't a friend of mine. But the new man has got a new identity in Christ through the gospel, and the gospel changes us. We don't need to live for ourselves anymore, but we're allowed to be diligent. We're allowed to work hard so that we can help other people like Jesus helped us, even if we did not deserve him. So work is good. If we can work, because I know that everybody is not able to work maybe for some reason, but if we can work in some way, whether you're getting paid for it or not, work is a good thing because we use our hands, we use our minds, and we're able to help others and give people grace. We can be very innovative and help to bless other people. We don't help because we have to. As Christians, we help other people, not because we have to, not out of duty, but because our identity is new and different in Christ. On the other side of the cross, our identity changes. We have received a beautiful, beautiful new clothes from Christ. We're no longer orphans. We're children of God to have his clothes, his uniform. Corrupt communication and slander. So we're getting down to the bottom there. Verse 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That is, don't say bad things, about other people. But only speak what is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. That is, when we as Christians speak, we want that after other people hear it, that they would say, man, that was good. I experienced mercy. When I talk to him, I experience grace. Not from you, but from the one who lives in you that's working out of you. Do you know people who you talk to every time and it's completely negative? We're like, and this is my German expression, like, boah, Every time I talk to him, it's just negative and it drags me down so much. But, other people, they're also realistic, but you can talk to them and they're positive. They lift you up. They give you grace. They give you mercy. They can also tell you the truth, but in a way that gives you life. There are mothers and fathers in the world today who say things like, you look ugly today. You're fat. why aren't you smart like that other kid? There are actually parents who speak to their children like that. But Jesus tells us that we have a loving Father in heaven, and he never speaks to us like that. He blesses us with his words, even when he tells us the hard words. He says, you're my beloved child. And he also says that those whom he loves, he disciplines. If we're self-centered, if we only think about ourselves and we only talk about other people however we want, but especially if someone's done something bad to us and we don't care about them, the old person says, I have to talk bad about my enemy so that everyone will know how bad he is and how not so bad I am. But the gospel is the opposite. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that we are all worse than we could ever imagine, but at the same time, in Christ, we're simultaneously more loved and more accepted than we could ever hope. The understanding from the cross that everyone has a moralistic sin problem balances us all out. We're all the same. No one is better, but the hope that comes through the gospel changes us all so that we no longer have to defend ourselves as a new person and don't have to defend ourselves because Jesus already defended you on the cross. Instead, we get to truly edify our fellow man in the power of the gospel. And through this, we receive strength and grace. And I'm going to make a quick point about the bad attitude and the temper since I had one yesterday. And really the last point is bad temper. So in verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Bad tempers hurt other people too. This is where you only think about yourself and you only see what you don't have. And if you only look at the things that you don't have, then you can only talk bad about other people and have a bad attitude. But we know that actually none of us is perfect. Like whether you believe in Jesus or not, that's a pretty relative thought that many people have. But as new people with new clothes and a new identity, we're now allowed to be friendly and warmly forgiving and loving with one another. For those of you today who are followers of Christ, I'm landing the plane here too, I'm going to pose this question once again. What is it that you are multiplying in your life? What is, when you saw that multiplication chart, you know, what is it that you're passing on to others? Is it your old identity with just a Christian sticker on it? One full of legalism and, legalism, we'll stop there. Or is it a grace-filled, gospel-motivated life with your new identity on the right side of the cross? I want to challenge you today to reevaluate that which you are multiplying and go back to that statement from Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Let us motivate those we lead, not to a new moralism, but to a life of living out of our identity as an overflow of love and grace that we've received from Christ in him as we've died in him and as we've raised to life with him. Where do you stand? And I want to ask everyone this question. This is my last question. Where are you? Who are you? What is your identity? Where does your identity lie? A true identity is found in Christ. Jesus invites each of us to put on a new identity. Jesus says, here is my identity. I have already died for you. I've already loved you. I've already given you this. And you're going to look really good in that jacket. You need a little encouragement sometimes. But why do we sometimes wear our old identity when Jesus offers us a new identity? Why do we do that? I think we need to be encouraged and encouraging, like my friend Bodo encouraged the others back then and said, hey, Kelly has a new jacket. He has a new identity. And when he gets here, you have to clap, okay? Then he'll realize that it looks really good on him. And I want to tell you here, that's one of the great reasons to be a part of this church, because you have so many people who can be like, hey, I know you're struggling right now, but that new identity that you've got, it looks good, okay? I can only see half of your faces, but I want to encourage you guys. You guys look good. Wear that identity of Christ. I know that Christ fits you very well because he offers what he offers is so beautiful compared to the old man. So for what or whom am I living my life? I want to tell you, if you believe in Jesus and if you say that you want to trust Jesus, then you can. People who want to trust Jesus can. And there's a beautiful identity for all of us, for those who already believe. We have to remind ourselves every day, I've got a new jacket. I don't have to wear the old one anymore. I can throw it out. I can burn it up. I've got this new one that looks really good. And that's been freely given by Christ. And I can place my trust in him today and every day. Let's pray. Dear God, we just want to thank you so much for giving us this identity, for our new identity. Thank you that we're people that are new. Thank you for the cross that's changed everything in our life, that we can love one another and really have brotherly love with one another. Help us to put on our new identity, because the old identity that we had led to nothing good, and our new identity leads to beauty, and help us to see that radiate within our lives. Thank you for your encouragement, and help us to encourage one another every day, whether they've put that new jacket on already or whether they still have yet to realize a new identity. In Jesus' name, amen.